Good evening and welcome to Maranatha Baptist Church. Glad that you could join us this evening. Hope you are doing well. Illnesses are going around, various kinds. To my knowledge, no COVID, but that still doesn't diminish when you do not feel well. The fact you don't feel well, but we're just glad that it's not COVID to our knowledge, and we'll do the prayer requests here going on towards the end of the message this evening. We're going to continue our study in the book of Titus, a tidy church. And today, and God has providentially guarded us or guided us or brought us to this message at this particular time, a tidy attitude toward authority, all right? Specifically speaking, government, our civil government, both national and local. And so we're going to start in the first three verses of Titus chapter 3. We've worked our way through the first two chapters. Very interesting book. A lot of people do not study the book of Titus. I looked at several places. Timothy gets a lot of attention. But poor Titus is the lonely stepchild of the spiritual world in our Bibles. But it has a lot of good information in here. Titus 3:1, Paul tells Titus, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. All right, let's go to our Heavenly Father as we will approach tonight's study. Lord, we are so grateful for Jesus Christ and His salvation. Thank you for the opportunity to look into your word regarding such an appropriate topic for us Christian Americans, our attitude towards our government. Lord, guide and direct us. May we hear your words and may they enter our hearts without delay, without us pushing back. And Lord, may we understand we belong to you first and foremost. We thank you, we love you, and we pray these things in your son's name. Amen. All right. So, as I mentioned before we read the verses and such, God has providentially brought us to this point in his word. And I do not believe it's a coincidence that we just finished up Psalm 37. So I'm just checking. Corey was going to text me if things were going all right. Hi, hello, Corey. Thank you. So God's providence has brought us to this point. Psalm 37, we looked at the past two Sunday evenings. We're not to fret evildoers. And those people doing contrary to what we would believe would be appropriate, especially in the context of leadership. And now we've come to this section of Titus, which addresses our attitude towards national and local government authority. All right. So here, for those of you watching at home, and obviously those of us here, what our challenge is going to be this. We need to bend our hearts to the Word of God, or allow God's Word to straighten our hearts, to bend them towards Him, to mold and fashion us. What we cannot allow happen is taking God's word and making it fit our current attitudes, all right? So the goal tonight is don't let your political ambitions override God's spiritual desires for you. Let God's spirit mold your heart. Do not try to take God's word and bend it to make his word bend to your heart. All right, we're just going to stop for just a second. Pick up. Corey's not getting anything. All right, so little technical difficulty. Please, those of you at home, if you can't see us, do not adjust your set. It is definitely Pastor Grover doing this. All right, so if nothing goes through, we apologize for the people who wanted it to go through, and we're just not making it happen. All right, so we just need to allow the Word of God to work in our hearts. All right, so Now, when I started studying this past week, we come up with several unique circumstances, especially in America. In America, we are governed by a constitution, all right, not a king. And we have elected officials, and they are to adhere to the constitution. So that presents some challenges, which is what is going on today in America. We feel that certain edicts from leadership go against our constitution, and therefore we have this tension. Should I listen to them, or am I obligated, am I being unbiblical when I do not listen to a leader who is being unbiblical, and unbiblical in the sense he's not, when they're sworn in to protect and to obey the what? The Constitution. And if they're not, then it seems to us they're the ones sinning or doing wrong, not us. Okay, so present some challenges that way. Also some challenges in the sense that America was founded on many biblical principles. And so we were not finding, at least prior to the past 50 or 60 years, there wasn't too many things going on that were that ungodly that the government was asking us to do. So the church and the government, though they were separate, got along on many occasions until recently where we're finding this separation. Then I looked at, okay, so Paul is writing to Titus. The predominant government during this time would have been what empire? Roman Empire. So I Googled Roman politics. And I believe I covered this, was taught this in school, but I did not realize, and I was hoping to speak with our resident expert from a recent graduate from AU on history, but was unable to catch up with him, the similarities between Rome and the United States. They have four governing principles in the Roman Empire, and it's flat out the same thing that we have in America. And so the reason I did that is I was looking, are there any apple-to-apple comparisons with, did Rome make some awful rules that Paul is telling Titus, now when you run your church there at Crete, I want you to tell these people, you need to listen to the Roman leaders. And I was searching, was there some ridiculous, ungodly thing that they wanted to do? And I really didn't come across anyone in a limited search other than to find out that Rome, the government-wise, and the United States were very similar in their origins and in their foundations. All right? So, meaning what Paul is telling Titus, what Paul is going to tell the Romans, what Peter is going to tell us is very applicable for us, all right? It's not like we're so far removed from this that we can't apply it to our lives. They're very similar in the government formation. So we must adhere to these admonitions. We do not have any reason to not bend our ear to the Word of God. So let's start our study with that introduction. Titus 3:1 starts out, put them in mind. And the reason I added that or made that the first point is this phrase indicates the matter at hand had already been addressed at some prior time, right? So put them in mind, remind them of things that they had already been taught. And when you consider that, that indicated to me there were other passages that addressed leadership other than Titus, okay? And so there are three others. There are probably more, but I found these three. First, and we're going to look at all these to some extent here in a few moments. 1 Peter chapter 2, and you see that, Romans and Timothy. The only one of those epistles written before Titus was the book of Romans. So that could be what Paul was referring to. And obviously, writing to Rome and the Roman Empire, he would have addressed those issues. So when Paul tells Titus to put these things in mind, the only book I can imagine him referring to or the only time he's addressed this issue is in Romans chapter 13. And again, we will get to these in just a few moments. Now, we have to understand this as well. God has instituted authority in all areas of our life. In the government, there's an authority over, the government is to be the authority over all citizens. The church is to be the governing body over all believers. Parents are to be the governing body over their children. And masters are to be the governing body over their employees. So here we see, we're just talking about one of the four areas where God is going to tell us these same words that we are to listen and to obey these individuals. And so this is just one out of the four. There's many other areas where we need to exercise these truths. All right, so let's dig in here. Put them in mind, these passages. So we see the passages from 1 Peter. 1 Peter, Titus, and Romans. And let's see what the unified theme is in all these passages. Put them in mind to be subject to the principalities, powers to obey magistrates. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors. Romans 13, 1, let every soul be subject to the higher power. In these passages, what is the unified theme? Two S words. Submit and to subject, all right? So let's take a look what these key words mean. To be subject is referring to a soldier's absolute obedience to his superior officer. And we know how that goes, right? If you have somebody in the army and they do not listen to their superior officer, how does it go for that subordinate? Not well, all right? That's probably what they do in half of boot camp, is getting those young men and young ladies to surrender their stubbornness to the officers leading or the sergeants leading. So to be subject is referring to a soldier's absolute obedience. To submit is another military term, meaning to arrange in military fashion under the commander. To place oneself in an attitude of submission, all right? So when it comes to our relationship to the government, there's one word that God has put in His Holy Scripture that He wants to make sure we grasp and understand, because it's enough if God says it once, but when He repeats it several times, He wants us to get it. So this is what He's trying for us to get. That we have to be subject and we have to submit, all right? Submit to who? The leaders, okay? I am to obey for the Lord's sake, knowing that there is no power, meaning authority, outside of God's what? Authority, all right? So I shouldn't have any problems doing this, because truly the one calling the shots is not the president, is not the king, is not the premier, is none of those people. The ultimate person calling the shots is who? Is God, all right? Are you in a good working relationship with God? I hope you are, as one of His children. Then therefore, what do you have to fret? Nothing, okay? If you were not right with God, then you would have some issues, because God's ordaining all these powers to be. Now, what is to be my attitude towards these government officials? And this is where I think predominantly Christian Americans do a very poor job in this area. All right? So let's take a look at my attitude that I'm supposed to have. I am to be ready for every what kind of work? Good work. I am to be ready to do whatever is good. And many times today in our environment here in America, Christians, when it comes to the members of the opposite political party, are not ready to do whatever is good. They're ready to do whatever can pounce on them, or whatever, I don't want to necessarily call it evil, but not necessarily good either. I am to speak evil of how many politicians? No man. So there shouldn't be any Christian, born-again Christian, putting on any social media platform this phrase that people have for Joe Biden. It's code word for cussing. What is that? Let's go, Brandon. If you don't know that, that's good. But that, I don't know the whole story, but it's not a good phrase. It's code for really cussing out Joe Biden is what it is. And I've unfortunately have seen this on some Christians' Facebook pages, and that shouldn't be, okay? We shouldn't be doing that. We're not to speak evil of any man. We're not to be brawlers. We're to be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Remember, don't take your political attitude and make the scriptures fit it. Let the scriptures, let God's word minister to your heart what he desires from us as his children. If that's not enough, then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and be made for, and I cut that off for space sake, but who's the first group coming up after this? Kings. All right? I'm not quite sure this Thanksgiving, for many Christians, when it comes to politics, are going to be giving thanks for all men. But is that not what God tells me I'm to do? Okay. So though we have immense rights in the United States, we need to understand our King's expectations for his ambassadors. Right? We are representing another kingdom. And we're here as God's ambassadors for that kingdom. We have rights here in America, but superseding those rights is our membership, our citizenship in God's kingdom. And we need to know we are an ambassador for him. And he has the right to tell his ambassadors how they are to behave towards the other government that they're supposed to be communicating to. And these are his words, okay? I want you, first of all, to be interceding for them. If we do not like what's going on, we have an avenue to the ultimate king, and that's the avenue of praying, and we can ask him to change the king's heart, to move the king's heart. And then secondly, we're to be giving thanks for that leader. We don't have to be thankful for everything, but we have to have an attitude. There's certain things that they do that are definitely ungodly, okay? But we're to understand this is what God wants from us. And I'm not quite sure all American Christians understand this, okay? So this is why we need to take a look at it. And again, there's really no difference in leadership between what Paul's telling Titus to preach to his church and what God's asking me to preach to this church, all right? It's not like they had it cozy and easy in Titus' day and Paul's day. They had just as much trouble and adversity as we have here in America, but this is God's expectation for us. And what we need to do is we need to get the bigger picture, okay? We in America, when our political party that we support is not in power, we put forth our best effort and we concentrate and concern ourselves with a lot of energy to get them back into office to replace the party that we don't like. But this is the bigger picture God wants for us to have. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing, okay? 1 Peter 2:15 is in the context of leadership, okay? That was one of the verses I showed you at the beginning. That with well-doing, you can put to what? Silence. All right? If we want to silence people, God gives us a direction. God gives us direct instruction. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be doing good. All right? So don't take your shotgun. This hasn't happened in a long time. And go down to the abortion clinic and start shooting people up. That's not what God asked. Okay? That is not what he wanted for us to do. If you want to put to silence people, you are to do good as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of what? Yeah. We don't need to be reposting that phrase. We don't need to be doing anything that ungodly people would be doing. We're not to use our freedom, liberty, either as Americans, but especially our liberty as followers of Jesus Christ to do malicious. But as we have to understand, as I mentioned before, we are whose servants? We're God's servants. Okay? 1 Timothy 2:4. Why am I to behave this way? Why am I to do good and not evil? Because it is God's will who will have all men to be what? And come to the knowledge of the what? It's hard to have the love of God, the truth of God being communicated when you're red in the face, using expressions that are not godly, only concerned with a political point of view that you think is wrong. All right? That's very difficult to get people to focus on. And by the way, you need Jesus Christ. Where's that going to go in that type of an environment? Nowhere. All right? So we as Christians need to get the bigger picture. God wants everybody to come to the knowledge of his Son. And when we act like reprobates with our verbiage, with our speaking, and with our attitudes, that the love of Christ, the gospel of Christ, is not going to be communicated to them. Okay? All you're going to do, you yourself are not in a position to share Jesus Christ at that moment, are you? No, you're not. You are not controlled by the Spirit. You're controlled by the what? Your flesh and your emotions. And they, if you're emotional and getting more emotional, then you can probably assume that your friend is what? Or your person you're talking to is just as emotional. Okay? So Christian freedom, I got this from John MacArthur from his study Bible. Christian freedom is never to be an excuse for self-indulgence or license to do wrong, is what he's talking about. Okay? So we must understand that this is the bigger picture that God has for us, that God has for us, his children, that we are to be using our lives to reach people for Christ, even those who vehemently disagree with us politically. Now, there's something we need to understand behind all this. The powers that be are ordained of who? Of God. Okay? Even when you really want to see this in action, go back to the Old Testament and read what God calls some of the Babylonian kings. He calls them his what? His servants. Now, those guys were far from nice, were they not? They were not even close to nice. And neither many of them were they close to being good. But God used them. God put them in power. God had a plan for their lives. And we have to understand, though we maybe can't see it all or understand it all, God has a plan for the people who are in power at this current moment. And if we do not like the current situation, the avenue we have to rectify it in America is, number one, we can vote, but so could the Romans back then. And number two, we can pray to the King who is in control of all things. That's where we need to be putting our energy. So the powers that be are ordained of God, for the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Okay? Now, have they failed throughout the course of history? Mm-hmm. But then that puts the problem in their court because they have failed to live up to what God expects from them. 1 Peter 2:14. Or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment, sent by him, sent by God, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. And I know in America it's getting flip-flopped. Good is being called evil and evil is being called, and that's what frustrates us. But that doesn't give us the right to act inappropriately. That just means God's going to hold who responsible? He's going to hold them responsible because they're supposed to be a terror to what? Not good works, but to, and do you think God will hold them accountable? You better believe he's going to hold them accountable. So is anybody getting away with anything around here? No. That's why we don't need to fret and we do not need to resort to ungodly tactics in order to make a point or to convince. Listen, if you have, you're convinced your point of view or your political way of doing things is the way, then all you need to do is use your mouth and your voice and communicate that to other people in a sensible, reasonable tone. And that's what people, if they're going to accept it, that's what they're going to hear. They're not going to hear you shouting at them because you don't hear them when they shout at you, do you? No. Okay? So we need to go in with the proper attitude, with the proper demeanor, knowing that first and foremost, when I say anything verbally, in person, or on social media, I am here representing God and his kingdom. I'm his ambassador. God has expectations of me, and I'm to live up to those expectations. All right? All right. We're going to be moving along quick this evening. I thought this would take a little longer, but it's all right. We're to show meekness unto how many men? So we're to be thankful for how many people? And we're to be meek to how many people? So meekness, I just looked in a couple of different translations and I found these three phrases that I thought were pretty interesting. Showing all meekness could be translated showing all true humility. Okay? That don't keep your attention. Showing all meekness could be showing every consideration. And if that don't fit your fancy, showing all meekness could be showing perfect. Can you guys see that up on the screen? Perfect what? Courtesy. Now, come on. Have us Christians in America done that? No, we've not. Perfect courtesy is one thing. What's perfect courtesy look like? Doesn't look like what a lot of Christians are doing. And I get righteous indignation over what you, especially, obviously, allowed over unbiblical things, right? Unbiblical things, you can have righteous indignation. We see this going on in the Old Testament. God is not against that. But when it's a personal preference or a political preference, the Bible being silent on it is what I'm saying. There is an expectation of behavior on behalf of God's children. And these three words are synonyms: true humility, every consideration, perfect courtesy. Four, why? Why are we to do that? Because at one point in time, you and I were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Okay? You and I were this way. What we think the person we're talking to who needs to come over to our side, this is how we picture them. But what God's trying to say is, take this same scenario where it is you and somebody who opposes you that you think is off their rocker, not doing anything near what is right. Take that scenario and now change the characters. It is now God not looking at your friend who you think is off his rocker. It is now God looking at you and thinking, no, I don't know if God thinks we're off our rockers. All right? That's a phrase I'm using. But whatever we think, that person, how can they not see it? Why are they so blatantly foolish? Why are they so blind? What don't they comprehend? At one point in time, God was looking at you thinking those exact same words. Okay? So if God looked at us the same way, did he stop there and just say, well, they're lost? No. But after that, what did God do when he saw us in that similar condition? After that, the kindness and love of God of Savior, our love of God our Savior toward all men, what? You ever thought of this? What if God responded to us using our Facebook posts that we use to respond to people who oppose us? What if our Bibles were full of those posts? And that's what we have. How do you think we'd feel about that? Would we feel a lot of hope? A lot of love of Christ? No, we wouldn't feel that way. God's just trying to make a point. We were even more dramatically opposed, not to a political system, but to the king of the whole universe. We were diametrically opposed to him. We did not listen to him as a rule. We did not want to know him as a rule. We fought against him. We disobeyed him. We mocked him. We did all these things. And God didn't turn around and slap us with a demeaning, insulting post about who we were. Right? He didn't do that. He showed us, as a matter of fact, we're slapping God in the face. What is he doing? He sent his son, and when his son got here, we even slapped him in his face, didn't we? Did that stop him from coming and doing what he needed to do? No. All right? He was so much different that even that centurion looked up at him and said, what did he say? Surely this is the Son of God. And Pilate, when he is accusing him or the people are accusing him, Pilate looks at to Jesus, don't you have anything to what? Don't you have anything to say? Aren't you going to start mouthing off like the rest of the condemned people would be doing and telling how ignorant those people are and he's not the fool, he's not the guilty, they are? How come you're not doing any of this? Because that's not what he came here for, to do that kind of arguing. And that's not what we're here for. I am not advocating that you do not express your political opinions. I'm advocating that you do it appropriately in a proportion to understanding I'm God's ambassador first. And the goal is, have I really won if I've convinced you my political opinion but lost my opportunity to tell you about Jesus Christ because of the way in which I handled this situation? Have I really won? I haven't won at all. Okay? But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward all men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. We didn't change ourselves. Okay? It was God doing this, but according to his what he saved us? His mercy. Okay? So why don't we show a little mercy and kindness to people? We don't have to get all worked up and all hot under the collar, fretting their political view, because you know what? In the long haul, is this world, is America going to survive? No. In the long haul, we remember this from Psalm 37 this past Sunday, the meek are going to inherit the earth. And how many times was that repeated in Psalm 37? Frequently. God is trying to tell you, listen, you don't, and who was it that was inheriting the earth? The meek. And meekness is those that are willing to be governed by another. It doesn't say meekness is not weakness, right? Weakness is not being a doormat. Here, you come wipe your feet on my back. That's meekness. No, meekness is I'm allowing myself to be governed by another because I am ultimately governed by who? By Christ. And I don't have to fear. But after all that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And so when we consider our attitudes and our actions towards people of authority, Paul is telling Titus, listen, you've got to guard against these things and you've got to teach them. Listen, they had the same temptations we had, except for even worse. Most of these people were not in a position to express any opinion because they weren't free citizens. They were what? They were slaves. And if that's what Paul, via using Paul, expected from slaves who had very little rights compared to what you and I have, you can certainly expect God had the same expectations for who? For us. All right. So that should be enough to either get you thinking, right? So next Thursday for Thanksgiving, when you go around the table and we need to be thankful, next Sunday for pie and praise, somebody better be thankful for our current government. Right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to be hypocrites, right? We don't want to be hypocrites. And if we're not going to do it, we shouldn't expect any other church to do it. All right. So I don't know if anybody's watching at home or not. I don't know how it's going. But if we are, we'll pretend like you are there. I have a prayer request. Meredith texted me today. Word of Life is having their revival meeting, big meeting with the youth in their particular area this Friday. She asked that we pray for 600 to 700 kids will be coming. So we'll pray that God's Spirit would move in their hearts. Many who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, we're praying that they would come to know Him as Lord and Savior of their life. Obviously, we want to add the bishops not feeling well this evening. Sounds like the whole family has whatever they have. So make sure you are praying for them. Are there any other requests that we need to share if indeed some people are watching at home? All right, Bob, you can hit the switch.